the book of Joel now. You'll find it right before the book of Amos, toward the Old Testament in your Bible. Joel was a prophet, didn't speak much of himself. But he did say in Joel 1, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. God used Joel as a mouthpiece. We pick him up in chapter 3, verse number 9. I'll read a few verses, then we'll be seated. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up and beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. In other words, God wants our attention. Now He says, not only to arm ourselves, but assemble ourselves. He says, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about thither, cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I set to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people. And the strength of the children of Israel. You may be seated this morning. Joel didn't speak much of himself. Matter of fact, it's a very short book out of the 66 books that the Spirit of God penned down. Joel only has some 3 chapters. Joel was a prophet that was calling a nation back to God. If there's ever been a day and an hour when a nation needs to be called back to God, it is this day and this hour. He speaks in verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles and make preparation. I want to say that as he said to prepare for war, we need to realize we are in a warfare this morning, and if there's ever been a time when Satan is coming against our homes and the church, our lives, it is in this day and this hour. I realize through the context of the Scripture, we find in verse 14 now, he says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, or being in the valley of Jehoshaphat, talking about the end times when God is going to judge this whole world. And at this time, God already has His mind made up. But I want to preach and stay in the context this morning and preach a sermon that is applicable to this day and this hour. And I want to entitle this message on this thought this morning, In the Valley of Decision. Our Bible is very practical. You'll notice that God has never left us comfortless, that He will always give us a word. Going through every conflict of life, I'm glad we have a God that's not silent. How bad, how pitiful it would be if we had a God that was silent. But here he says, I want you to proclaim among the Gentiles and make a preparation. And I want them to assemble themselves together because there are many that are in the valley of decision. You may be here this morning and life has found you in a hard situation and it seems that you're down into a low place and you're at a crossroads in your life. Many times in our life it means so much whether to go left or right because it's very important not only where we go, but the way that we start at it. Now this morning in this valley of decision, I want to talk about a few things about this text. And I want to say, first of all, there are details in this valley. Multitudes, multitudes. There's a number described. There are many people in this valley today. There are many people in this valley, in this church this morning, that it seems that you're within this multitudes and multitudes that simply have a decision to make. Now here, there's a number described, and then there's a nature displayed. I've never seen as the multitudes that have a decision to make. America as a whole don't have God on their mind. We live in a culture that we're so blessed, but yet we've went so far away from God, from our culture, even from the churches. And this morning there's a number described, multitudes, multiplied, but there's a nature displayed there. So many multitudes in the valley of decision. So in the details in this valley, there's a number described. There's a nature displayed. But you'll notice there are some needs that are determined. God says that it is time for you to make a decision in this valley. Now, in the reading of this text, there are the details in the valley, but secondly, I will talk about there's a dilemma in the valley. This dilemma is, you'll see that trials are explained. I want to say something. I sure am glad that God allows us to get into a valley that He might get our attention. You know, the thief on the cross, there's no doubt he got saved because Jesus allowed that cross to be handed in his life. Many of us are saved this morning because God in His providence allowed us to get into a valley and therefore we made a decision in that valley. Today there is a dilemma in the valley. The trial is explained. The trend is expressed. How many people do you know that are in the valley? I'm not only talking about making a decision for Christ to be saved, but even saved people find themselves in a valley, and it's very important of what kind of decision that you're going to make in this valley. You know, it seems like when life deals with us by hard circumstances, and Satan comes by and tells us, well, what's the use? And a lot of times we just sort of want to quit and lay down in the valley. But God does not want His people to lay down in the valley. But He wants us to stand up and climb out by the good grace of God. For He said, God is our hope in the valley. So there are dilemmas that we find ourselves caught up with in this valley. And so in this valley of decision, there are details in this valley. There are dilemmas in this valley. But you'll notice that God mentions there's a decision in the valley. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. He mentions it two times that within this valley there is a decision to be made. I want to say this decision in the valley, it is a very timely decision. Matter of fact, some of you are in places this morning. Some of you by way of radio, you're been placed in a valley, and it's very timely for you and your family and your soul if you make the right decision. The decision in this valley, it's a timely decision. Today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow to get saved. You say, well, I'm going to get saved when I get here. I'm going to get saved when I get there. But let me tell you, if God's dealing with your heart this morning, today is the day of salvation. You say, how do I know if God's dealing with me, preacher? Do you want to be saved? People passing by this building this morning, they don't have the interest of being saved as a whole. But if you have an interest in being saved and want to be saved, God would save you this morning. And so in this decision of this valley, but notice, I really want to preach on the next two points. There's a declaration in the valley. You don't hear much about this anymore. They say, well, you know, preacher, you're not with the times if you really believe this. Now, let me tell you, this Bible is perfect. This Bible's right on time every time. We don't need a new Bible. That's all we need to do is preach out of the one that the Spirit of God left us to preach out of. He says, now watch this, the declaration in this valley. He said, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord's returning. I'm from the school of thought that the church will be raptured out. Then there's going to be 7 years of great tribulation, which I believe this Bible teaches in such a way that this world has never known about. This world has thinks it's seen chaos this morning. You wait till the church is taken out of this world, and those things will come upon a nation that knows not God. The declaration. It's amazing to me that this declaration in the valley, you'll notice the news of this declaration. It's mentioned 10 times in the Old Testament. It's mentioned 3 times by the prophet Joel. Look what he said in Joel 1 and 15. He said, alas for the day. The day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Write it down. Jesus is coming. He's going to take His church out. Then, honey, He's coming back, and He's going to judge this world in a way that it's never been judged before. The news, prophets declared. Joel said it in 1:15. He said it chapter 2, and he said it in verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. There's not many trumpets being blown in Zion this morning. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Honey, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're going to face judgment by the hand of God, and your sin will outweigh your righteousness, and hell will be your home. You better trust Christ that took all your sin on an old rugged cross. There's none good, no, not one. You see the declaration in this valley. We see its news. Joel declared it 3 times. He said it in Joel 1 and 15, Joel 2 and 1, and then from my text, in Joel 3:14, Obadiah declared it. Isaiah declared it. Zechariah declared it. Ezekiel declared it. The day of the Lord is at hand. And He said He would come as a thief in the night. The Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. See, people's not very alarmed about the judgment hand of God. Sound an alarm. Yes. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Let it go out loudly. Let it go out positively. The day of the Lord is at hand. I'd ask you this. If these minor prophets of the Bible thundered this great promise, felt like it would be in their day, I wonder how they would be sounding the alarm in this day and this hour. Sin is rampant like it's never been. In our culture, no longer is wrong wrong and right is right. The people have a great tendency to do that which is right in their own eyes. The Bible's the guide. The Bible's the measure. And there's a declaration in this valley. We find out about its news. We find out, number two, that it is near. And second, I want you to look in 2 Corinthians 5 and hold your place there, but I want to look at a few things this morning and I'll be done preaching. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. Paul's writing 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch your Bibles. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. I want to say something right here. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We hear a lot of men preaching God is love. God is love, but God is also a God of judgment. God sent His Son to die to get you to heaven. And if you reject God's Son in hell, you'll lift your eyes. The terror of the Lord. What a day for so many in that multitude in that great valley of Jehoshaphat where they've gathered together against all the nation of Israel. They'll come at them with their right hand, but God is going to stand for the nation of Israel. And anybody that is a friend of the nation of Israel will be a friend of God. But in the application of this text, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Now, in this declaration in the valley, the day of the Lord, we see it's news and we see that it's near. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 1. But the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Let me ask you something. Would anybody ever got broke into if you know the thief was coming? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. It won't slip upon you if you're saved. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us, church, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Today, there's a declaration in the valley. The day of the Lord is at hand. Are you ready to meet God? It brings me to my last point this morning. In this valley of decision, there are the details in this valley. There are dilemmas in this valley. There's a decision in this valley and a declaration in this valley. But lastly today, there is a deliverance from this valley. I'm glad I can get out of the valley of decision. I'm glad that I made a decision for Christ in 1981, and no longer do I stand in the valley of decision about my salvation. Nor will I ever stand in that valley again. I'm saved till the day of redemption. Sealed with the Spirit of promise. The earnest of our inheritance. Now, there are two ways to be delivered out of this valley. One is be led through the gate of life. But the other is to be led through the gate of darkness. Either way, you're not staying here. You're either saved, safe, or lost. I want to say something to the children here. A lot of men try to bring scare tactics on children. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in playing voices, people screaming out of hell in Sunday school, trying to get kids scared. I don't believe in going through spook houses trying to get professions. I believe through the preaching of the Word of God, the Spirit of God deals with the little ones. They get saved like me and you get saved, by the Spirit of God dealing with their heart. When you have a young one come to the altar, I can tell you multitudes of places would try to get a profession. I simply ask, what do you need? They'll tell you what they need. I don't want to trick nobody's child into nothing. But I want to tell them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. You older person, there's a deliverance out of this valley of decision this morning. Either through the gate of life, or you be left at the gate of death. Lord gave me this little thought this morning. I got up, went to my study, and pinned it down. I want to say these three things and give you a verse or two. Number one, in the reading of this text, we need to hear God's Word. This Word is so important. Hear God's Word. Mom and daddies, it's so important to get your children here. The local school system cannot share this Word the way we can. Hear God's Word. Number two, heed God's way. Jesus. And third, not only hear God's Word and heed God's warning, but head God's way. That's through His Son. I like what the Bible said in Revelation 22 and 12. Revelation 22 and 12. You see, this is what some of you don't understand about preaching. I've seen people come to where I was preaching and hear where I've pastored, and I've seen them come in and out. I've seen them come here and sit. They don't live anymore. They're gone. What did we give them when they was here? Did we give them truth of the Word of God? Or are we just going to act like there is no alarm to sound? The Bible says you must be born again. I love this. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He said, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bride and the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." I'm glad there's deliverance in the valley of decision this morning. Hear God's Word, heed God's warning, and head God's way. Romans 10. Brother Daniel, I want you to come. Be getting me an invitation song ready this morning, please. I want to read this, and I want to give an invitation. Romans 10. First of all, as your preacher, I want to ask you something. Are you in the valley of decision this morning? If we're going to heaven, then we're going to heaven by what this Bible says. And listen at what it says. Romans 10 and 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is deliverance out of that valley of decision. I'll never forget that morning. Sandy Flat Baptist Church, an August day in 1981, preacher preached, "God is dealing with my heart." Is He dealing with you this morning? Are you troubled about your condition? I just asked you as your preacher, are you troubled about meeting God? The church stood. The preacher had preached. I stepped out by faith. And this is all I said. Lord, save me. It worked. And let me tell you why it worked, because I wanted it more than life. Do you want to be saved more than life? He loves you this morning. You hear me? Jesus loves you. Could you imagine he that had never known sin came to be sin for us, but yet never had sin? God put His Son on the cross to satisfy a holy God. There's no way we can work our way to Him. No way we can be good enough to go to heaven. There's none good. But I want to ask you this morning, maybe you're here, you're in this valley of decision. If you'd step out by faith and trust Jesus to save you, this Bible says He will. It can be no plainer than that. This Bible can be trusted. And He loves you.